Let's have a look at this. I don't know about you, but one of the most confusing things about politics is that politicians come out with statistics and claims as if they're facts. And then other politicians, well, they seem to have facts and statistics that they claim disprove it all. So from now on, we're going to try to check the facts after they're aired, or at least get some of them checked on a regular basis. We'll record and we'll replay what politicians say and analyse them. And today we begin with the SNP leader and First Minister. Now, Nicola Sturgeon was being quizzed by Andrew Marr, and I'd like your comments on this too, about the shortfall in revenue from the North Sea, given the crash in the oil price. And this is what she said about her prediction of oil prices and revenues before the referendum.
Firstly, let me say that the projections the Scottish Government made were in line with all external projections for revenues. I remember David Cameron coming in the final few months of the referendum campaign and saying to people here, vote no for a £200 billion oil bonanza.
OK, that's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon. Your text, 80295. This is the SNP's prediction of anything between 5.7 billion and 9 billion a year, which was in line with what everyone else was saying at the time, she says. It's based on this 15 billion barrels being left in the North Sea at $100 a barrel. Simply put, roughly 200 billion of revenue spread over 35 years. Joining me now, two great friends of each other. Then we've got Kevin Haigh, who is an anti-independence businessman and blogger, and Stuart Cameron, who's from the pro-independence website Wings Over Scotland. Hello to both of you.
Hiya, John.
Good afternoon, John.
By the way. Stuart Cameron. Sorry, Stuart. That's our mistake here. Okay, Stuart, first of all, then. Tell me about the predictions of oil price and revenue before the referendum and what Nicola Sturgeon said there, that they were in line with everyone else's predictions.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely correct. I mean, if you look at any of the forecasts that were made about it, you got forecasts from the IMF, the World Bank, the OBR, the DECC, the OECD, anyone you care to name, were all predicting oil price of between $100 and $110 a barrel by this time at the start of 2016. The fact of the matter is that the price of oil is one of the most volatile things that there are. And what that means is that people try to predict it a lot. And that means that, again, that you have a very wide range of predictions at any given moment. But in terms of what people were projecting as the medium, the kind of their best guess figures, then the white paper figures were very much slap bang in the middle of that.
What were they? Remind everyone listening.
Again, I think it was somewhere in the vicinity of $110 a barrel.
And then what was the revenue per year to Scotland?
I don't have the white paper in front of me right now, John. I couldn't tell you.
I do if it helps.
All right, Kevin, you go with that then.
So the Scottish Government in the white paper, page 75, were forecasting for 2016-17 oil revenue of between 6.8 billion and 7.9 billion. At that time, when the white paper was produced, the OBR, I mean, Stuart actually mentioned the OBR as one of his choose any source, were forecasting 2.9 billion. So the low scenario the Scottish Government were using was £5 billion lower than the OBR's forecast, and the high scenario was £6 billion higher than the OBR forecast. And what Stuart has done in answering the question is what the SNP generally try and do, which is when someone asks about revenue forecasts, to immediately talk about price forecasts. I mean, in fact, the OBR were forecasting $97 a barrel, but that's neither here nor there. What matters is the revenue. It's the revenue that pays for public spending. And to get from oil price to revenue, you have to make assumptions about extraction costs and production volumes and prevailing tax rates. Now, the OBR were very clear on this, but I'll use someone else. You know, Stuart said, you know, take your pick. Well, the OBR clearly said that. The Institute for Fiscal Studies in May 2014 said the main point of disagreement is the different forecasts for revenues for North Sea oil and gas used. Our figures, that's the IFS, and the Treasury's figures, are based on the Office for Budget Responsibility. Clue is in the name. You want to budget responsibly, you might pay attention to them. The Scottish Government report instead uses their own higher forecasts, and it goes on to detail 7.9 versus 2.9. So when Nicola Sturgeon says she said the projections the Scottish Government made were in line with She does a little chuckle. All external projections for prices and for revenues. That is demonstrably untrue.
Can we replay that clip then? We weren't going to do this. Can I just replay this clip? Mick's behind. He's pretty hot on this stuff, right? Mick, just replay this clip.
Firstly, let me say that the projections the Scottish Government made were in line with all external projections
for prices and revenues.
I remember David Cameron coming in the final few months of the referendum campaign and saying to people here, vote no for a £200 billion oil bonanza.
Stuart, then, do you recognise Kevin Hague's figures? So this is Nicola Sturgeon saying that the predictions were in line. And Kevin Hague is saying it's not just oil prices, it's to do with the revenue. And what he's saying is the revenue being predicted was 2-point-something billion by the OBR. But the Scottish Government, or the pro-independence arm, if you like, were predicting a much bigger amount, 7-something billion. Do you recognise those numbers?
I noticed with interest that Kevin's two different figures were, in fact, both based on OBR figures. It's worth pointing out, I think, that when it comes to predictions, the OBR's success rate is up there with a drunk man in a blindfold performing open-heart surgery with a hammer and chisel. It's described
great
its own...
Kevin, I
don't want interruptions. Please let him make his point.
It's described its own track record as, and I quote, pretty lousy. The OBR itself recently revised its predicted revenues, not oil price, but revenues, for the period between 2020 and 2040 down. It revised them down from £37 billion to £2 billion. Mm. That's how fluid the OBR's forecasts are. March, it downgraded its one-year forecast for 2016-17 down from £2.4 billion to £600 million, and now it's predicting, I believe, £100 million.
I hate interrupting, and I don't want to interrupt, please, but I'm just taking us back. We're trying to do this thing with fact-check. So someone comes on the air, they state a fact, and the fact stated was that the projections at the time by the pro-independence parties were completely in line with almost everybody else's projections. So what Kevin Hague is saying is at the time in the white paper it was saying $7 billion a year, but actually the other projections were saying $2-odd billion a year. Is that right or is that wrong, Stuart?
Well, no. What Kevin's done there is substitute one particular OBR projection for the vast bulk of all of the various projections. If, as I said, you can at any given moment, you could go on.
Can you give us some other revenue projections then that you can cite revenue, Stuart?
Would you mind not interrupting me, Kevin? Thanks so much. At any given moment, you could go on the internet and you could find legitimate predictions of the oil price. Anywhere between $10 and $200 a barrel. Not just from some price loony, but from any number of legitimate government sources. So if you're, some dog food salesman who wants to cherry pick the worst possible one and obsess on that to the exclusion of all others in order to make the Scottish government look bad, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. The point is the predictions that were made in the white paper were in line with the bulk of everyone else's predictions, both for price and revenue.
Okay, Kevin Hague, let Kevin Hague come back. So the predictions in the white paper were in line with the bulk of predictions for revenue and oil price.
You would have to do another fact check on exactly that statement, and I can tell you it's not true. Stuart says, well, I'm just picking the OBR as if that's some random thing to use. Yeah, the Office for Budget Responsibility is established for a very good reason. The UK government relies on the Office for Budget Responsibility for their projections. And the fact that they turned out to be optimistic, as yes, everybody else was on oil, doesn't substitute for the fact that the Scottish government used forecasts at the time that not just the OBR, but that others, and the Institute for Fiscal Studies, yes, they relied on the OBR because they, as the UK government do, see that as being the most credible forecast for oil and gas. Now, of course, it's highly volatile. That's the whole point. And they were, in fact, optimistic, as they have always been. So the fact that the Scottish government chose to be more optimistic than the always over-optimistic OBR to the tune of £5 billion a year shows that it was a false prospectus. That they were gambling the future of our country on oil.
Stuart.
All that we're doing here is coming back to the fact that Kevin is obsessing over the OBR's projections over and above everyone else.
What other ones were there then? Give us another.
OK, the Department of Energy and Climate Change in 2013 projected a range of oil prices for 2015
prices
between $92.4 a barrel and $131.7 a barrel. Now, that is a very, very wide range of predictions, and they were still out by a factor of three from where it is now.
The bottom line is you cannot predict the price of oil.
Okay, but we'll leave that one. You're not going to agree. Let's do the second fact stated by the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon. Text in 80295. What do you make of this? This is the one about Scotland and declining oil revenues and how this is going to affect Scotland.
I've said our growth in onshore revenues over the next few years is projected to significantly outstrip the decline in offshore revenues. And our deficit, even on the most pessimistic projections, will fall every year over the remainder of this decade.
OK, now, if my head gets this right, what she's saying is that we can generate income through non-oil tax raising, as in income tax, VAT and corporation tax from stuff that happens on the mainland, and that is going to be more than the drop in oil revenue. So the drop in oil revenue we've established, have we, roughly, is if it was predicted to be 7.9 billion-ish, it's down to about 2 billion-ish. Is that correct?
100 million now, according to the OBR, the year we're in.
Okay, well, all right. So can somebody help me here and check this fact?
Well, I'm happy to have a stab.
Go on then,
John. What we do on Wings Over Scotland is that we try to source opinion and fact from people who are hostile to our argument, because I think you'll generally find that is a more kind of, you know, people are more inclined to believe you if you're quoting the other side's figures. And this comes from a highly suspect source, the BBC, who recently reported that the Scottish economy will continue to pick up pace despite the lower oil price. And that came from data from the Fraser of Allender Institute and Professor Brian Ashcroft, who I don't believe is anyone's idea of an SNP apologist.
Okay.
And he specifically said that the beneficial effects of the oil price falling would outweigh the damage done by the oil industry.
Do you have the numbers for that?
Oil prices falling.
Can you help people here and back up Nicola Sturgeon's statement with numbers?
Well, I'm not an economist, but what Professor Ashcroft suggested was that he predicted a net gain of jobs and a net growth in the economy.
A net growth in income to the country?
Yeah, he said growth might actually benefit if the income effects of a lower oil price on increased household spending, investment and net exports are large. And what he went on to do was predict that they would be.
Kevin Haig.
OK. First of all, the maths here is pretty simple. I know Stuart isn't big on numbers, but our onshore tax base at the moment is £50 billion. So that's how much revenue Scotland generates in tax. If we're looking to find £8 billion, 7.9, let's call it 8, that's 16% increase in onshore tax revenue. That's how much our onshore tax base would have to grow to close that gap. Now, Dr. Gary Gillespie, Chief Economist, Office of the Chief Economic Advisor to the Scottish Government, projects 2% GDP growth. So, you know, you do the maths. It's 8-9 years at that level of growth to close that gap. And so, of course, you know, yes, that gap will get closed by real GDP growth. The relevant point here, and it's consistent with what Professor Brian Ashcroft was saying, is not closing that gap versus where we are today, but where we are versus the rest of the UK. So in the context of the continuing debate about whether it's separation or full fiscal autonomy, the question is, how much better off are we by pooling and sharing with the rest of the UK? Now, we are, you know, demonstrably about £8 billion a year better off at the moment. Over those 8 years it would take 2% real growth to close that gap, of course, the rest of the UK economy would be growing as well. And the rest of the UK economy is more exposed to the upsides of the declining oil price than the Scottish economy is exposed to the downsides.
But is Nicola Sturgeon, in your opinion, right or wrong to say that if the economy grows, then the onshore revenue will more than make up for the loss of the offshore revenue?
Well, she's right, because it's a statement of the blindingly obvious. As long as you have real GDP growth, eventually the growth in onshore revenue will get to a stage where you've grown by whatever we've lost in oil revenue. The point is, first of all, you know, we've had debates about what a generation is. Let's have a debate about what a few years is. At current rates of growth, projected rates of growth by the chief economist of the Scottish Government, it would take 8 to 9 years. Now, she did say significantly outstrip, so, you know. But yes, if a few years is 10 years, if you're happy to have no real terms increases in public expenditure during that time, and if you ignore the fact that relative to the rest of the UK, we would be all we'd be doing is holding that deficit gap that we already exist, then yes, it's true. It's not, Stuart, you know, it's not as wrong as the statement about oil forecasts.
Okay, last word to you then, Stuart. You both agree on this one.
It certainly appears so, yes. Yeah. So I kind of tuned out during Kevin's big ramble there. I'm not sure what his point was, because we both seem to agree, as Nicola Sturgeon does and Brian Ashcroft does, that overall the oil price falling will benefit the Scottish economy more than it harms it.
And the UK economy.
Professor Ashcroft was specifically talking about the Scottish economy. I will quote him. The oil industry is very, very important and in many ways the jewel in the Scottish economy, but the Scottish economy is much bigger than the oil industry and there are lots of areas that will benefit from the lower oil prices. So, as far as I can tell, we are all agreed, having checked that fact.
What you just asserted, but never mind.
Okay, thank you, Kevin, Stuart. Thank you very much indeed. We do have a response from the Scottish Government, and they've directed me to two different papers, and we'll have a look at them. They're to do with oil and gas projections and a Fiscal Affairs Scotland paper. We'll have a look at them.